with your words. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. So I got a question for you. Have you ever gotten yourself in trouble with your mouth? I know the answer to that. The answer is yes. We've all been there. Have you ever found yourself saying, me and my big mouth, right? That's what we're going to talk about today. Not because I want to, but because that's the next section we come up on when we come to James chapter 3. Me and my big mouth. And how many times have me and my big mouth got myself in trouble? It is a common problem for everybody. There is no one whose mouth has not gotten them in trouble at some point in life. It is something that all of us have to face. It is something that all of us have to deal with. It is something that we will all have to deal with for the rest of our lives. Not to bring you down, but James is going to tell us here shortly that this is something that we will battle every day because it is the nature of the sin nature, and it is the nature of our heart. And so as we come to James chapter 3 today, and as we continue our walk through the book of James, remember, James, the book of James is written to persecuted Christians who are running for their lives, and he's trying to teach them in chapter 1 about how we can live a life of joy in the midst of trials and how to avoid temptations in the midst of trials. And he talked about how that we shouldn't treat people differently based upon their skin color or how much money they have or their status. And then last week, he kind of closes out that opening section with faith without works is dead. And that sort of is the whole theme of his entire book, that your faith, if you have true living faith inside you, it will transform you and it will show in your hands and your feet the things you will do. And now he's going to tell us it's going to show you in what you say. And so as we look in James chapter 3 today, I want to go back. James 1 verse 19, he gives us a principle back there that we should all adhere to at all times. And he says we need to be quick to listen and slow to speech. Right, say that with me. Quick to listen, slow to speech. And we get ourselves in trouble when we reverse it. So quick to listen, so to speak. And he starts chapter 3 like this. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So he's not saying nobody should be teachers, but he is saying you need to be careful if you think God is calling you into teaching the Word of God. Because with becoming a teacher means that you're going to be held to a higher standard. And I don't want to discourage anybody in who feels like maybe God's calling me to lead a small group or to teach in the kids' class or maybe step up and teach youth. If God's calling you to that, do that. Don't run away from teaching just because of these verses. But understand this, that we are held to a higher standard when we decide to stand up here in a podium and preach or teach a teenager or teach kids or lead a small group. Because it's one thing if you do something wrong and you're like, well, I didn't know. If your kid does something wrong and they're like, I didn't know that was wrong, and then you teach them and you train them a certain way, right? But if you tell your child, don't do that, and then they do that, isn't that a different attitude? And don't you treat that differently than you treat the ignorance? So as a teacher, as somebody who's going to stand before God someday, I'm not going to be able to give the excuse, I don't know, I didn't know. God's going to be, excuse me, you were standing up here teaching everybody else? What do you think? You don't know. This is one of those truths that weighs on me constantly. Not in a bad way, it just weighs on me because I know that I have to be at a higher standard. And sometimes I fall short of that standard. And I have to get on my knees and I have to ask for forgiveness because I'm not perfect. Because he says, look, we all stumble in many things. Isn't that true? We all make the mistakes. He says, if you never stumble in word, if you never say anything wrong, if you never speak out of turn, you're almost perfect. The word really means complete or mature. But the mature person, the mature Christian, measures his words. And that our words are a sort of a barometer of where we are in our Christian maturity. that what comes out of our mouth sort of tells the whole world who we are and what we're like and what's inside of us. And it kind of tells ourselves, who am I as a Christian? How far have I come as a Christian? How far have I grown as a Christian? So James says you need to be careful. If you want to be a teacher, you need to approach that carefully. But you also need to understand nobody's perfect. But we're going to try to pursue and continue and to grow to get better. Because if you can learn to get better with what comes out of your mouth, that's evidence and proof that you are growing as a Christian. That is a great way to measure your spiritual growth. Well, he continues, he says, indeed. And James uses lots of word pictures, and I love the word pictures he uses. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boast great things. We understand this. I've ridden a few horses in my day. Not a lot, but I've ridden some. You got that little bit. It's not very big, right? And it's right there in their mouth. And if you're riding a horse and you want to go that way, you kind of pull on it and they go that way. And where the horse goes, you go, hopefully. And if I want to go this way, you're controlling the horse with something so very little. And great big ships, what powers the ships in those days was wind. Today it could be using great big diesel engines. That's what powers them. But what decides where it's going? It's the little rudder that turns. It makes the ship go this way and that way. And he's like, your tongue is small, but your tongue can control the direction of your life. It's little, but it boasts great things. Your words have power. Your words carry so much weight, and that you can boast great things. Ladies, your husband, the most important opinion to him in the entire world is your opinion. Not his boss's, not his best friend's, it's yours. And I know us men, we're rugged and we're tough on the outside and we're crusty and we're all that. But your opinion of him and how you express that can really lift him up, or it can crush him. Your words carry a lot of weight. Gentlemen, your words carry a lot of weight with your wives. You can't talk to your wife the way you talk to your buddies at work, or you talk to your buddies after men's group out here in the parking lot. You don't talk to your wife that way. They don't hear it the same way we hear it. I know you can say to your buddy, hey, buddy, your ears are so big you could use those on a sailboat. I know you can say that, but you don't say that to your wife. You can joke with your men, friends, differently than your wives, because the weight of our words to us are different than what they weigh for them. What you think is a pebble is a boulder to them. It's like that piece of furniture at your house that's so heavy that they can't move it, so they need you to move it. Or maybe that trash bag that's gotten so full that they can't get out. You pick it up and you're like, oh, it doesn't weigh that much. But to them, it's heavy. And to them, they struggle with it. You may think that your words are kind of light and small, but to them, they're heavy. And so we must be careful how we talk to each other. We must measure our words. Parents, the words that you pour into the brains of your children are important. We must be positive with our kids. Yes, we must correct. Yes, we must discipline. But we must make sure that they know that even in the midst of correction and discipline, that they are loved and adored by you and by God. That the words that you use in your kids is huge and it's important. We boast great things, even though we don't realize it. And that term great things doesn't necessarily mean good. It means just big. So that little word that you spoke, you may thought, oh, it was just an offhand comment. It was just a little tiny criticism. You never know how that word landed on somebody else. Me and my big mouth. Have you ever done that? You said something and you didn't really think that much about it, did you? You thought it wasn't that big a deal, and you discovered later that, oh my goodness, I can't believe that hurt them so much. You ever been there? It's okay to say yes, it's all right. We've all done it. James says we're all this way. We have to learn to measure our words. It is a measure of our maturity. And he continues, though. He goes, see how great a forest the little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature And it, the tongue, it is set on fire by hell. It doesn't take much to start a big flame. Many of you know that out behind my house, I still got this jungle that I'm working on clearing out. I've got trees I'm cutting down. I've got bushes I'm cutting down, and I'm dragging them. I got some of them in a big pile right now. And every so often, I got to burn those down because I'm trying to make it look better back there. And it always starts with a little flame. I got a little deflame, and I got a little bit of kindling. And I go out there, and I start to build, and I watch it grow and grow and get bigger. If I'm not careful, what happens? That little flame turns into too big a flame. And if that flame were to get out of control, what happens? Could burn down my neighborhood. And it all started with just a little flame. That's what he says the tongue is like. Sometimes just the littlest of thing can start your whole world ablaze. The littlest word out of place. The littlest word out of control. The littlest word spoken in anger without thinking it through can start a major fire. And we've all experienced that. And the most troubling thought in all of this passage here to me was he says, the tongue, it is set on fire by what? By hell. In other words, sometimes you and I don't like this at all, sometimes you and I, we say things that come straight from the pit of hell. We say things that are evil and we don't really think about it. And if you doubt me on this, I'm going to prove it to you. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking to his apostles. And he's telling his apostles, he says, look, I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And when I go to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest me, they're going to try me, they're going to crucify me, and they're going to kill me. And Peter pulls Jesus and says, hey, come here, Jesus. And I imagine he put his arm around him. Maybe he didn't. No, that's not going to happen to you, Jesus. No, I'm sorry, Jesus, you're not going to die. That's not going to happen. And you know what Jesus' response was? Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, who? Get behind me, Satan. And I imagine these words pierced Peter to his soul. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely the human concerns. Jesus looked right at Peter, and he looked right through Peter, and he knew the words that Peter had just spoken didn't come from Peter, they came from Satan himself. As Satan was trying to use Peter to thwart the will of God. And how often have we allowed our words to thwart the will of God? And it is a sobering, sobering thought that too often a careless word can set the world on fire. And we're talking about Peter here, right? I mean, Peter that walked on water. Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost and thousands of souls were saved. Peter that opened the door of the gospel to the Gentile world. That Peter. And if Jesus had to say that about that Peter, oh my goodness, what does he need to say to poor little Mark sometimes? That we need to be very, very careful about what we say. And he continues, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And I'm like, James, please, you're beating me up here. This is getting a little hard. And he continues, with it, with the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You shouldn't be singing how great is our God on Sunday morning and on Sunday night cursing out somebody else. We need to be careful and measured about how we talk. He continues, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? There is no spring. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. So how do we control our tongue? Now that I've made all of us feel really bad about ourselves, what do we do about it? Because are you like me in this moment? I'm like, oh man, this is terrible. This is not the kind of preaching I showed up for church for. I don't know about you. I came to church to be lifted up and to be, you know, joyful. And I read that and I go, whew, man. He says, nobody can tame it. Is there any hope? Well, let me give you a little bit of hope. And the way you give hope is to give help, is it not? So I want to give you a little bit of hope is how do we control our tongue? If the tongue is so evil, if it's so unruly, if it is so hard to control, is there any hope for you and I? And I say, yes, there is. There is hope for the Christian who is maturing and growing in Christ, who and is wanting to become the best possible Christian they can be. And I think that it starts with this. We have to recognize that our mouth is connected to our heart. The two are directly connected. Jesus was talking to his apostles, and he was having a discussion with the Pharisees, and the apostles are listening in. And it's in Matthew chapter 15, and he's teaching the Pharisees, and he's telling them, look, you guys are way too concerned with how clean your hands are. Because the Pharisees were obsessed with the food they ate and how clean they are when they ate it. And you had to wash your hands in a certain way and all of this. And Jesus says, look, it's not what you're putting into your mouth that's defiling you, Pharisees. It's what's coming out of your mouth that's defiling you. And the apostles were confused because all they had ever been preached was the rules and all the stuff and the things that went in were so important. And they're like, Jesus, what do you mean the stuff that comes out of us is what defiles us or makes us sinful or makes us wicked, if you want to use those terms? Well, Jesus says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from what? Come from the heart, and they defile a man. The stuff that you say tells us what's inside of you. That's what's defiling you. For out of the what? Out of the heart proceed, what is that? Evil thoughts? Murders? Oh, I hate that person. That's God. Jesus said, you know what? That's kind of like murder. Or adulteries? Fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, out of the heart is the mouth. So your mouth and your heart connected. Not only that, he says in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this. He goes, a good man out of the good treasure of his, what? Heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his, what? Heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your mouth and your heart are connected. People know you by what you say and by what you talk about. They know if you're a Tennessee Titans fan or if you're a fishing fan or if you're a hunting fan or if you like to make venison jerky. They know all this stuff about you by the things that you talk about and the things that you say. And Titans and fishing and jerky and all that stuff's not wrong. But you're known by the things that you talk about. Out of your heart is what you talk about. So if there's a connection between the heart and the mouth, how in the world do I control what's coming up out of my heart? Well, the thing is, God gave us a mouth and He gave us a heart, but He gave us a filter that goes between the heart and the mouth. And that filter's called a brain, our minds. They're supposed to filter not only what comes out, but what goes in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, for though we live in the world, you and I live in this world, that's obvious, we do not wage war as the world does. We do not fight wars the way the world does. We fight spiritual battles, not physical battles. He continues, the weapons we fight with, talking to Christians, the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have what kind of power? Divine power. To demolish strongholds. That you and I have the divine power, the Holy Spirit power, godly power within us to fight our battles. When we rely on our physical weapons and on our flesh to fight our battles, we're going to lose. When we rely on the spiritual weapons that we have at hand, then we're going to win. And he says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every what? That's in your brain. You take captive every thought. Now, how many thoughts do you take captive? You take captive every thought. You take it captive. When a thought comes into your brain, you're supposed to examine it. Don't just accept it. I always think of it in these terms. Sometimes, and if you're like me, thoughts pop into your head sometimes, do they not? And you're like, where in the world did that come from? And just having a thought, by the way, is not sinful. It's what you do after you have the thought that determines whether or not it's sin or not. And I always picture this, taking captive every thought. I take my left hand and I grab right here. I'm like, I'm grabbing that thought And if it's not a good thought, I'm throwing it away. That's what Paul is imaging us. Take it and throw it out. That you are to take captive that thought. You're to examine that thought. Is that thought worthy being a part of my life? If not, it's out of here. But how often do we not turn our filter on and the thought hits our brain and next thing you know, it's in our heart? We've got to learn to think like Jesus. We've got to learn to take captive every thought. The thoughts that come into our lives from the outside, through our eyes and through our ears. The things that you see on television, are they godly or are they not? The things that you listen to on the radio or on the podcast or the coworkers that you're listening to or that politician you're listening to or that talk show host you're listening to, are the things that you're putting into your brain from this world, how do they measure up against Jesus Christ? You need to think about those things. Don't just absorb them and say, well, he's on the radio. He must be pretty smart, so I guess he's right. Or he wrote a book, therefore he knows what he's talking about. That may be true and it may not be. I've read plenty of books, and the guys were nuts. I'm like, nope, 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 nope. You got to think about the stuff you're putting in, and you've got to measure it up against. Is it biblical? Is it godly? Your filter needs to be a godly filter that filters what's coming in. I can't tell you how many times Dell and I, we tried to watch a TV show, 10 minutes into it, we're like, nope, can't watch that. It's sickening, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to watch anything, so we're watching more and more black and white stuff. Now, I like black and white shows and movies, so I'm good to go. I don't care. I can rewatch some of those Andy Griffith shows over and over again. There's so much junk today is garbage. And parents, you really need to be careful about what you're putting into your kids' brains. Those brains are so soft, and they don't know how to filter yet. It's your job to filter for them. So the things that are coming out of this world and they're going into your brain, are you letting them settle into your heart? Because if they are, they're coming out sometime. It will influence you. What you listen to and what you watch pay attention, it does influence you. But it's not just the stuff that comes in from the outside. It's the thoughts that are already on the inside that you got to filter out as well. Those thoughts of, I'm not worthy. Or the thoughts of that guilt from something you did 20 years ago that you've already been forgiven of. But yet somehow Satan seems to bring it back up, does he not? And he seems to bring it back up at just the right time to cause you some pain. Those thoughts of shame and guilt and unworthiness, of fear and an anxiety, those are not godly thoughts. And if you don't take those thoughts as well and cast them out, they go into your heart and then they settle into your heart as well. So you've got to filter the thoughts inside your own brain. And I struggle with this and you struggle with this. Sometimes, you may or may not know, but sometimes I'll miss a chord on the guitar and I'll be frustrated for a week with myself. And everybody else is like, I didn't even hear it. I can be really hard on myself, and I've got to learn to get better at that, and I have. And your patience with that has been good. But we can all beat ourselves up over stuff that's not worthy of beating ourselves up over. We need to replace the lies that we tell ourselves with the truth of the Word of God. That if you're feeling guilty over something that you've already confessed as sin, God says that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when you're feeling false guilt, replace it with the truth of the Word of God. When you're feeling false shame, fill it with the fact that you are a child of God. When you're feeling fear, fill it with scriptures that remind you that God is still in control. But we allow all that stuff within our heads. And I think that's even worse than the stuff that comes at us from outsides many times. And we allow it to settle into our hearts. And it sits there. And eventually it's going to come out. This last week, Dell and I made some taco soup. Good stuff. I love taco soup. And she made enough that we had a couple nights worth. And the second night, we were having the leftover taco soup. And I got it out of the fridge and it was cold. I put it in a big bucket and I started to warm it up. And as I started to heat it up and started to warm it up, guess what happened? All those nice aromas started to come up to the top, right? And I began to smell that yummy, good taco soup. You know what happens? Sometimes you allow stuff into your brain, and you don't take it captive, and you don't throw it away. and you don't filter it out. So what happens? It then settles down into your heart and it just sits there. And it sits there and it sits there and it sits there. It doesn't go away. We like to think that it went away. And we like to tell ourselves that it's gone, but it's not. It's just sitting there. And then the next thing you know, there's a moment. There's some pressure. Something hasn't gone right in your lives, and the heat's turned up. And the pressure's turned up. And when the heat and the pressure turned up, just like when you put something on a stove, stuff that's in your heart starts to bubble up. And then the next thing you know, it comes out of your mouth. Because it's been sitting there for a while, and you've not dealt with it properly. Your heart and your mouth are connected, but you got to filter it, all the stuff going in with your brain. But it's not just what goes in. You also got to filter what goes out. Remember, quick to listen, slow to speak. You got to take a breath sometimes. You got to measure your words. Is this going to help somebody? Is this going to hurt somebody? Hurting people hurt people. We have to measure what is coming out of our mouths. We have to stop and think about it, because way too often we just let stuff fly off the handle because that's how I feel and in the moment. That is not the mark of a mature believer. A mature believer measures their words. A mature believer thinks about what they're going to say before they say it. So we filter what comes in. We filter what goes out. And that's how we can measure our growth. So as we begin to close, I want to try to make it real simple for all of us, because I like simple things. I like to think of things simply. So how do I do this? How do I make sure that the filter in my brain is working well? Because we all know, gentlemen, you know, if you got an oil filter on your car and it's all clogged up with junk and stuff, it's not filtering out the oil real well, right? And that's going to cause problems in your motor. If your air filter gets all clogged up with stuff, it's going to harm your engine's performance. How do we make sure that our brains are filtering properly? How do we keep them clean? Well, Paul gives us a couple examples, and I want you to read the words in yellow with me here. How do we filter what comes into our lives, whether it's from the world or whether it's from already in our brains? How do we filter it? Finally, brothers, he says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Think on these things. Or better said, that word think should be meditate. If what's in your brain doesn't fit that, what are you supposed to do with it? Grab it, throw it out. That's right. We filter the stuff that gets into our brain through that filter right there, so that it doesn't then get into our hearts. If it's pure, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, those are the things that you're supposed to be filling your life and your heart and your mind with, because those are the things that build you up. Those are the things that make your life better. Those are the things, even though it is hard sometimes, those are the things that produce good results. So you filter what's going in by Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Well, what about what goes out? Well, Paul tells us this too in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. One of my favorite Christian bands is named Building 429. And I remember years and years and years ago, they came out with a song. Their very first single on the radio was called Glory Defined. And it's a song about going to heaven. And I heard this song and I loved it. And I said, Building 429, what in the world does that mean? And I went and I read about it. They chose Building 429 as their name of their group because it comes from Ephesians 4:29 that talks about building people up. They wanted to be a band that builds people up. So I filter what's coming out of my heart, through my brain, and out of my mouth. I filter it with this verse here. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That's a high standard. But only what is what? Helpful for building others up according to their needs, not my needs, right? That it may benefit those who listen. So the words that come out of my mouth, are they helpful and are they beneficial? Are they building up or are they tearing down? Do the words that I say tear somebody down or do they build them up? That is the filter that you process it all through. Are my words destructive or constructive? So we filter everything coming in by Philippians 4:8. We filter everything going out by Ephesians 4:29. And when you begin to do that, you then begin to see the maturing process take place in your walk of faith. That is what James is talking about. It's not easy. It is a process, and it is a daily process. And all of us struggle. That's why when we come together, we all need to bring grace with us, do we not? Because I struggle, and you struggle. And if you say something that offends me, Jesus said, this is how you handle it. You go talk to that person. And we bring with it grace, understanding that we all need grace in our lives. And we all are here to build each other up. So as followers of Jesus Christ, the bottom line from James is watch your mouth and guard your heart. Let what comes into your heart be filtered through the light of Scripture. Let what comes out of your heart and through your mouth be filtered through the light of Scripture. Bow your heads with me as we close. You've been given great power. You've been given the power to burn your world down if you so choose. You've been given the power to burn the world down around you, to destroy. But you've also been given the power to build a great community. You've been given the power to build other people up, to help other people grow in their faith, to encourage other people. You have the power to make a difference. It is my prayer that we make a difference in a positive fashion, not a negative fashion. So as I play and as I sing, if God has spoken to your heart, if you need to come, someone will come and pray with you if you wish, or if you want to pray by yourself, that is fine as well. But as I play, you respond. Oh, Father in heaven,